Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who are fascinated by how astrology unfolds in our daily lives and the headlines in your life. This is Heather Rowan Robbins, and I'm speaking to you tonight from a very rainy Minnesota. And I am joined in New York by my beloved companions, Anne.
Anne Ortley here at the bright red desk. Woohoo!
And Mark.
And Mark Wolds, also in New York.
But not at the bright red desk.
No.
And we were just talking, but we are going to be doing a workshop together in New York. And Mark, what was the title? We had a wonderful title for this, The Unfolding.
How the Chart Unfolds.
Yes,
How the Chart Unfolds.
And that's progressions and transits and how to work with those over time. That'll be in March, the first weekend in March. More details will be coming out in the months ahead, but if you are interested, this is a masterclass with the two of us, with the three of us, focused in March, and we're very excited about that. What else do you two have coming up?
I'm going to Las Vegas tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock.
Oh, that's
woo-hoo! That's exciting.
I have a bad solar return, and I've never done this before, but I'm actually relocating for my birthday. So
I'm going to Vegas
and going to be reading some clients out there, which is fun. So I get to write the trip up. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to see Celine Dion on my birthday. So, you know, doesn't get better than that.
Oh, that's fabulous.
I know.
Wonderful.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yes. Wonderful music to hear your head.
Celine will be able to write her trip off, too.
Yeah.
She'll go, okay. Yeah, no, I had really a crappy solar return, and I kept looking at it going, this is really bad. I don't want a whole year of this. And this last month has been really bad, you know, because the month leading up to your solar return is when you really feel it. And I'm like, I just can't do a whole year of this. So then it changed. So we're not, Vegas is I'm on my Neptune line in Vegas. I'm going for it. And if I do my pre-session corrected, I'm on my sun line, so I'm a happy girl.
That's
either one, yeah.
So, and that's one of the ways that astrologers, it's a little bit of magic that we work, in that by going to a different place for your birthday, it changes which houses are affected by your solar return. And it really seems to be a pretty powerful magical invocation. Whether it actually works because you've relocated it or because you invoke it because you go through the effort of getting there, I've never been able to figure out, but I have seen some powerful examples of how it's worked.
Right. And I've seen some powerful examples inadvertently, you know, because I was raised by a Capricorn astrologer. My first teacher was like a lot of Capricorns. Mm-hmm. So he's like, you go away for 2 days, but then you're 360 days in the same place. I think it changes it. And I'm like, well, yeah, you know, I don't know. You know, I mean, I'm a Pisces moon. I'm gullible. But then I had an assistant, and we went to, she had an option of three solar returns, one in Chicago, one in Buffalo, one in New York, and I ended up being in Chicago at an astrology conference. Mm-hmm. And it was when Uranus in Pisces was in her 12th house in that solar return. And she was in a group room at an astrology conference, and a drunk astrologer came in and vomited in her hair while she was asleep on the floor.
Oh,
and
yes,
I was like, that is such a good analogy for that aspect. And let
it
me tell
so
you, the whole year was like that for her.
Yes.
The whole year
it
was like
so
that.
It's so funny
like,
how astrology gets literal sometimes.
It's very literal. So I'm like looking, going, I'm going to have a little Neptune, and I'm going to have a little sun in the first. So that's my job for the solar return. Vegas, here I come. Yeah. So, but in the meantime, we have eclipses this week, too.
We do. We have all kinds of things happening this week.
Yes.
It starts out kind of, you know, heavily Virgo and thoughtful and eclipse-like, and then ends up with Mercury retrograde as Jupiter opposes Neptune. We have Saturn entered Sagittarius. I mean, it's a busy week.
Yeah.
And starts out tonight with Mercury square Pluto, and the heavy intensity of, you know, honor and loss and what are we doing with ourselves and all kinds of interesting things. But if you're a little moody tonight, forgive yourself on that. So,
right.
Anne, what
More
do you want to
crabby,
say about the eclipse?
Counts too. I'm liking the eclipse.
I'm
going to
ask you in a minute, Mark.
It's pretty good.
And
Mark,
what do you
think
see
about
of the eclipse?
Eclipse
coming up?
I think this solar eclipse that we're having on Sunday looks okay. I think it's you know, it's fairly mild. It doesn't look like a really ominous sort of eclipse. Yeah, the
and
one that comes 2 weeks later, the lunar one. That's a little bit of a doozy.
Right.
Yeah, the lunar one's a big deal. Yeah.
So this one is just nice. It, unfortunately, this one won't really be, it's a partial solar eclipse, so it's not one of those spectacular ones where, you know, if you travel and go and watch it and, you know, sit under the eclipse, it's really
You have to be very southern hemisphere on the other side of the globe,
Yeah,
it's off the coast of South Africa, actually,
Southern Africa. And so it's in an interesting place. It'll be 20 degrees of Virgo, and we are feeling it's going to be in conjunct to Uranus, so it's an unsettled one.
Yeah.
And I see that the hypercritical mind that's coming out in the politics, we could use some critical thinking. You know, I think less criticism and more critical thinking is what I'm hoping for as a part of that. But we have to be careful not to be to turn that Virgoan critical lens on ourselves or each other too harshly this weekend. But move into the Virgoan compassion instead.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I'm noticing how strongly I'm feeling is the Jupiter-Neptune opposition. That sense of feeling flooded. And those are the words that I'm hearing about the refugee crisis in Europe, is we are flooded by refugees. They are just an ocean. We see drowning children. We've got this, you know, and the weather systems have been so wacky. Too much water, too little, too much, too little. But the whole concept of being feeling flooded is part of that Jupiter-Neptune opposition.
Right.
It can be great for imagination, great for creative process, wonderful for meditation, divination. But our sense of reality and into a spirit and imagination, the boundary's a little thin. And I've noticed that when Jupiter and Neptune are anywhere near each other, that people's food, you know, it's their diet, their food, their alcohol consumption starts getting a little screwy, and their blood sugar can get way off. So it's really helpful during, especially during this time when Virgo rules the intestinal tract, that we eat in a very, very grounded way. So
well, you
I
don't
just
want
recommend
to,
that highly. You don't want to. No, no.
You don't want
to.
You want that
to
cocktail.
Eat.
You want the chocolate. You want the... There's the call from the ice cream in the freezer.
Yeah, and what you really need is the potatoes and the peanuts and all the grounded stuff. Right?
All the grounding foods,
And how do you feel about Saturn entering Sagittarius? So it's going to be a bit.
Well, that happens on the 17th, so that's next week.
You can feel it
towards
coming.
The end of the week. Yeah, you can feel it coming, but it also is the... The Pope's coming to New York, so we're getting all excited here.
Oh, that's Jupiter-Neptune opposition. Too much spiritual life, or a lot of it.
Yep, that's the only bad part is it screws up traffic. And everybody goes, the Pope's in town. Plus, we always have
Mercury
at the
stations.
End of September, we have the UN thing. You know, they bring in all the people from the UN and from around the world. So it's crazy gridlock in New York in the last week in September. But it's, you know,
just
part
in
of
time
the,
for Mercury retrograde. Yep.
Yeah, but I think the Saturn going into Sag, I think, you know, with it combining with these eclipses, because it's in between, we have the eclipse, then we have the Mercury retrograde, then we have Saturn going into Sag, and we have Venus clearing her shadow, and then we have Pluto going direct, and we have the other eclipse. But Saturn at the last degree of Scorpio, lots of endings. You know, I got my feet done today. Because I'm going to Las Vegas, and I'm going to be in a bikini. Well, not a bikini. I'm going to be in a bathing suit. But my toes have to look good. But I was reading. It was like the Us magazine had the summer of breakups, you know. And so today or yesterday, John Hammond. They just broke up. Big, long relationships ending, too. They were 19 years, which, of course, is a nodal cycle. And I think it's a lot of endings. This is a big, big next 2 weeks for endings. Because the eclipses make people pop. And Saturn at the last degree of the sign of death makes people pop. And as we go into Sag, we got to leave behind the death. So So we got to get through it and get over it and move into the new life. Sag is a fire sign, and it says, I don't want any death. So all of you guys have to die before the 17th. Or at the latest, the second eclipse, the 27th. So I think it's a big departure week, and I think our job is to kind of go, okay, big departure couple of weeks. Our job is to go, okay, we're at this transition point, you know. So big changes,
and,
big changes.
Yeah, and along with that, I also noticed the last degree in Scorpio and a different kind of death, the series of suicides that are fallout from the Ashley Madison scandal. And that was Saturn in Scorpio while Venus was retrograde. You know, the great uncovering of hidden sexual secrets. And that many of the people are, you know, several of the people, many of the people are very upset that their names are put out there. And several of the people, a minister and a police person and somebody else, have killed themselves in response to being exposed.
Wow. I missed that one.
Yeah.
That's
it's hard.
Saturn in Scorpio. Wow. That is hard. It's like...
Yeah. Saturn in the last degree of Scorpio.
Well, it also, I think there's a sense, when it's at a last degree, you do have a sense of it's ultimate energy. You know, it's kind of, it culminates and it really pushes us to kind of go, okay, let's get this rupture moving. Wow, I had missed that one. But I have seen quite a few suicides or endings, you know, people leaving.
It's part of that... Saturn in Aries. And I'm hoping to feel that difference. We felt it briefly. And I have Saturn in Scorpio natally, so I understand that intensity, the kind of a morbid understreak. But it's also the ability to deal with those things, but it can go there. So the lightness we felt when Saturn was briefly into Sagittarius and went back again, it's an impatience, it's a hurry on with it. I'm hoping that it brings a new level of honesty out in some of our political candidates who are just being given a walk in the park by the press. I'd like to see some more, you know, real reportage done. But we'll see. We have a question from one of our...
Edmitos is there, too. He's in Taurus last degree. So I know there's also a companion to this. This is Saturn is trining the eclipses. From March, you know, the March 20th eclipses, as we go into this new eclipse period. So we're closing up the March-April eclipse with this eclipse in September. But also last week, the Sun squared Saturn for the last time. And this week, the Moon squares Saturn for the last time, today and Thursday. So it's very big emotional releases. So it's really honoring that whatever needs to go. And, of course... Remember, releases mean new beginnings, new beginnings, new beginnings. But in the moment of release, it can feel very intense.
So, I agree.
Edmitos, of course, makes it a permanent ending because he's like just kind of an ender guy. So
we have these eclipses, and it always seems to be a shedding and a beginning. This weekend, and as we're talking about this, it's Mercury squares Pluto. I really suggest that we use that Virgo lineup to get our ducks in the row for the Mercury retrograde cycle, to get as much completed, done, tied up, loose ends, organized. We can do a lot of review. We can do what we said we were going to do. We can follow through on what we plan. But let's see if we can get as much of the details sketched into place now. I can already feel the need for my inner editor to work twice as hard, that I am not editing myself as I go along the way I should. So help yourselves with just reading things through two and three times. Early next week, when the moon is in Libra, it's good to get all the relationship issues. The sun will be also opposed Chiron, and Mercury will be semi-square Saturn, an important time to kind of hammer out the details while people are feeling friendly, make those phone calls, build that network, you know, clear the air as much as you can so your team is with you as we head into the later part of the week where the moon enters Scorpio and Mercury heads into its retrograde cycle. So that will be important to kind of keep that focus ready by next Thursday, by the 17th, that we're in that that more organized place.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Next
so
Thursday
we have
at the station, right?
Yeah. Yep. We have a question from one of our regular readers, and who's an author, and has her name is Christy, and she has born August 18th, 1978.
Wait. I have to get up and type. Hang on. All right.
August 18th, 1978, at 2:14 a.m. in St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay.
And she has just recently published her first, or it's her second book. The first one was on chakras. And this one is on her life story. It says, Little Miss Somebody, One Girl's Journey to Find the Love She Desperately Needs. And it's her story, and it's intense. And it was a long and tough and beautiful story. It's getting some great reviews about healing from people who review books on healing trauma. Now, she was basically self-published the first time, but it's been picked up by an important book imprint, and she has a team helping her work on it. But she's thinking about how will the republishing go? How can she work with this team? And they don't have a clear schedule. But anything that we can help her see about getting the word out and is going to be important. It's interesting we discuss that as Mercury is square Pluto. So, Anne, what do you see?
I'm still pulling it up. So, Mark, you?
Yes, Anne. Still putting it together here.
Heather, you want to go?
Yeah. Well, why don't you take it away? I see her Venus. She's got natally a Venus-Mars-Pluto conjunction between 8 degrees and 14 degrees of Libra. And Pluto has been squaring that steadily for the last couple of years as she wrote that book and really did a beautiful... The book is a powerful version of Venus-Mars-Pluto conjunct in Libra. And she works with astrology herself, so she is, aware of how of the power of that. So, and born on the full moon, and with the sun in Leo, moon in Aquarius, that she can take her personal story, but make it relevant to the community. That moon in Aquarius. So it feels like it's a good piece to get going on this, and that the healing. I see that Mercury retrograde will be an important time for her to be reviewing and maybe doing some re-editing or just be getting everybody right on working together about what they need to do to republish. And then, I just see it rolling after that. How about you two? Anne, what do you see?
I think I like that the Venus star point was on her Sun Mercury, which is in the third house. The one on August 18th, which kind of course, the Sun rules the third, which gives her a real strong writing component. I think the Saturn square Saturn in coming from the sixth house into the third, really clarifying what went on or how to communicate with Saturn and Sag. Jupiter's down there in the third, opposite the Neptune in the T-square. She's set into the 12th, so she has to be careful about not undermining herself with words or, just kind of an awareness of words and the power, which I guess she is because she is a writer. I mean, I think it looks good.
But
I think
that
it looks
Mercury-Saturn conjunct in the third, which is great for writing.
Yeah, the Mercury-Saturn great for writing. But the Mercury retrograde on the Sun is, just finished getting the square from Saturn, which, of course, made it now Saturn's in the sixth. So this is really an apprenticing time for her because Saturn's going to be in the sixth for 2 years. So this is a lot about doing the work, showing up and doing the work,
And the book is about her healing and other people's healing.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. And the eclipse in the fourth house is a new beginning, kind of shoots the energy up to the top, which is always helpful. And then the eclipse from March-April is being picked up now as Pluto stations to go direct, squaring her Pluto in the fourth, fifth. So, you know, it looks like full steam ahead, which is good.
Right.
She does have to watch out for a little bit. You see what?
Yeah, the Pluto square and Saturn square both are very active. So there's a lot of power with all of its work. And it's a matter of expressing that power and letting it be a power for a greater good. And as long as she has her focus there, that's the way it's going to work.
Right. And I see that Mercury retrograding back and forth in her fourth. That's the you know, re-examining in this from, again, with Mercury retrograde. She's going to go over and over the book. I just want her not to take out the power that the original book has, that they're going to, you know, they're going to be editing it and combing it and to keep the power of it. Her progressed moon is now in Cancer, and it goes into her first house in about 2 months. And that's when the public starts to really see you. I think when her gets into her first.
Right. Yeah. Now, have you read the book, Heather?
I've read part of it. I'm
part
in the middle of it.
In the middle of it? Okay, cool. So then, you know, talking to her about the keeping the authenticity of it, because that's the moon Leo, you know, her authentic voice in the third house, as opposed to someone else's voice. Right.
Right. And I think it's going to be good. Okay,
good.
Well, let's on to the next callers. We've got a couple of callers here, and I want to get in as many as we can. Okay, it looks like, and they just have to hit one and the pound sign, and they have raised their hand, and we can answer them. So, 631, you're on the line. How can we help you?
Hi, Ann. Hi, Heather. Mark, it's Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
You tell me.
Okay, we've got a lot of people on the line, and we've spoken to you recently, so let's make this a focus call.
No, I haven't called recently. No, I haven't.
What's your birthday information again?
6/29/59, 11:10 p.m.
11:10 p.m. in Queens. And what's your question?
I have a major transit on me, and I want to know the date it's ending and what the name of the transit is.
And what do you see?
You have a major transit on you. What the name of the transit is and when it's ending. It sounds like a clue. All right. Major transit. Saturn is on your descendant by secondary progressions. So when he emerges, he just actually emerged. If your birth time is off a minute, he's doing it now. He's kind of coming up from the underground, Deb, and he's pushing out into the world and going, okay, let's give birth to this. So kind of like that shot in Aliens when, what's her name, had that thing come out of her belly. You know, you're giving birth. So that's very important. You're also having Jupiter just got off your Pluto, which Jupiter-Pluto finished, you know, and kind of said, let's get this moving. You're having your Mars return. You had it 2 days ago, so that's also a new beginning. And you're having Mars on your Uranus. Uranus is on your solar arc, transiting Uranus, progressing Uranus is on your Mars, and Mars was on your Uranus. So a lot of eruptions.
And Mars is on your Venus.
And Mars is on your Venus, yeah. So you're having a lot of eruptions around workers, coworkers, health issues, too, can sometimes anxiety with this placement. And then also with Saturn emerging from the descendant in the ninth house, it's almost a spiritual crisis. Like, what's the direction I want to have? Yes, and it is trining the sun, right, which is nice.
That's
so
nice,
But it can leave you feeling a little amorphous.
It was some sort of transit that's been going on for like a month.
That's
the Mars and Venus going back and forth over all of your Mars and Venus planets and all your Leo planets in the sixth house.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and you got the eclipse
Anne's talking about the bigger.
Right. You're having the nodal return of your nodal returns happening too, which is right now, and the eclipse is on your south node. So it's bringing up stuff from from March of 2014, and then from the eclipse that we had last April.
Mm-hmm.
So you're clearing. It's a big clearing. You just kind of think of it as, you know, throw this away, pull it up, okay, throw that away, pull it up, throw that away. The more you can do that, the better. And you're also, of course, having Neptune in your first, so it's a sense of disorientation, I think, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And Neptune's in conjunct your north node in the seventh, so a lot of people are missing. You know, people that you normally feel are present aren't there, you know. So even us, we were like, you know, you've called. And I'm like, actually, no, she hasn't called in a while. Neptune in conjunct. No, you haven't. That's, you know, you said, I haven't called. And I was going to say, no,
I
she really hasn't called. No, I know. But that's it, the Neptune in conjunct to the north node. People aren't seeing you or recognizing you on some level, you know.
And the Mars and Venus in going back and forth in the sixth house feels like it's really stirring up that there's been your own impatience and your heaviness and the kind of just sparks within you and with people around you, and it's just been kind of an emotionally loaded time. It's not as eventful in a good way as you would like, but it's kind of more emotionally churning.
When is this ending?
Those get off your out of Leo and into Virgo and out of your house of health, small animals, and work situation in by Mars by the end of September, Venus by mid-October.
Yeah.
That,
you got to get through
long?
The eclipses. Huh?
Yeah.
So kind of hang in there. Find as much positive excitement as that you can. Something that you can pour that Leo energy, whatever, you know, there's going to be this kind of inflammation around you of other people. How can you look for that intensity? The Jupiter transits are supportive. The Neptune transits say spirituality and imagination can be really supportive to you right now. How can you create the excitement and interest that you want?
Yeah, try to find the moment of humor in things.
Mm-hmm. Or it can get very kind of negative drama. You want positive drama.
Right.
And would you mind if I wrote you after the show?
Yeah, no, that's fine. Mm-hmm.
You'll get the email?
Fine. Yep, Well, I'm going to Vegas in the morning. But
no,
yes,
right after the show, I won't keep you.
I'm packing. I'm not packed yet. You know, it's like only 11:30 at night.
We've got three more minutes. I'm going to take another caller. Good luck, Debbie.
All right. Good luck, Debbie.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sam.
You're welcome.
Hello.
No worries.
You're on the line. How can we help you? 505.
Oh, hi. It's Jody. Anna, it's Jody out here in Santa Fe.
Oh, hi, Jody. How are you?
I'm fine.
And
this is the first time I've ever gotten in. I have a real. I have a very general question. I want to know the significance for everybody, but me in particular. My birthday is 3/22/57, Wichita, Kansas.
3/22/1957.
Mm-hmm. Wichita, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
What else I need to tell you?
Time
6:14 p.m.
Okay, 6:14.
I want to know Well, whatever you can tell me, but I'm interested. What is the significance of being born when the moon is void of course?
And what do you think on that?
Well, usually I think that's a C-section. Very often it's a C-section because the baby isn't necessarily wanting to come in on a void of course moon. But a lot of times on C-sections that's what happens because they just kind of operate. And as a void of course moon...
C-section, though. Yeah.
You weren't born C-section, yeah. The other point of it is then it tends to be a spiritual life. The life tends to have a life where it kind of moves from corner to corner, tries this, tries that,
and
has
you weren't
a bit
born
of a traveling.
You know, it looks like you were born as the moon was moving into a trine with Pluto. So I would not call that a void of course moon.
Well, it's past the trine, yeah.
It's just past it, though.
And you were born 1957? February 22nd, 1957?
March
22nd.
Okay, March, that was it. That's why.
Yeah.
and
Mark, what do you want? It's the void.
Okay,
but yeah, it is
sense.
A void moon. Just past it, yeah.
Okay, it is. You're right. Very void.
So yeah, I was just wondering, what is the significance for, you know, in general? I'm just really curious. I
always felt like it's finishing last life at the very beginning of our life, and then it takes a little while for this life's story to begin, really pick up.
Uh-huh.
And that when we're finishing that, and then it takes us a little while to find ourselves this lifetime. Because remember, your progressed moon started a new cycle very soon after you were born. Minutes.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
That, you know, the momentum that's picking up, I still feel, even though it's void of course.
Okay. All right.
Well, so you're wrapping up an old life and to do a new. And you also have that kind of showing with the Venus at the last degrees of Pisces and your ascendant and your IC midheaven at 27 and 26.
Yeah.
And your Pluto's at 28. So it's like wrap up the old life, get ready, begin the new life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And do the other. I think that's a good analogy of it, Heather. Like it kind of speaks
and,
to this kind of evolutionary journey, of
right.
the soul.
And our call is ended for the night. The show is over.
Thank you.
And thank you so much. Good luck. Good question.
Yeah, thanks. Good question.
And this is Heather Rowan Robbins saying goodbye from Minnesota. And Anne?
Anne Ortley signing off from New York.
And Mark Waltz signing off from New York.
And you can find all of our websites.
Week.
Yep. And you can find us in New York all together in March. Take care.
Yay.
Okay. Happy travels
goodbye.
To Anne.
Thank
yes.
you. Thank you. Okay.
Bye.
Bye now.